Around to all of you from the stream I have put down, recording this brief video in reply to a recent letter that came to my notice, written by a prominent disciple of Srila Prabhupada, which was shared in private circles, but I came to know that eventually it became more and more open and wide, well known. And since many devotees wrote to me asking for my opinion, I wonder whether to address this whole thing publicly or not, but since it became so public in itself, here I am recording a few words just to share my particular opinion and thoughts on this letter, which I will share here now without the need to address the specific names of the person who wrote the letter, but just sharing my personal opinion on what has been shared there, especially the main accusation, if you want to use that word. So it says like this. Dear GVC members, please accept my obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I consider posting this on the leadership conference, but thought that such would be at your discretion. I keep hearing that Padmanabha Swami of Argentina is visiting ISKCON centers and lecturing, perhaps at devotees' homes, where the community is invited. I don't think he's speaking on temple Vyasa sense. However, yesterday one devotee in Europe told me that she attended his program that was at the home of a senior member of her community. Neither she nor the hosting devotee had any knowledge but Padmanabha Swami's history or philosophical stance. I feel it is my duty to inform the GBC about this person so you can take action as you see fit. He is originally from Argentina and was initiated by Paramadvaita Swami, who had headed his own movement in South America and Vrindavan and has since been disgraced. Padmanabha rejected him and accepted Tripurari Swami as his guru. Padmanabha Swami then wrote a book, Inherited or Inherent, about the nature of bhakti, prem, and the soul. In that book, he wrote, well, here comes the main quote, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, and Srila Prabhupada all taught Appasiddhanta. End of the quote. Before seeing his book, I had accepted his request to speak to him. And in a three-hour conversation, he will not say that the soul is eternally a person. He finally said that the soul is a potential person. He gifted me his book, and when I read that he categorized Bhaktivinoda, Bhaktisiddhanta, and Prabhupada as preaching Appasiddhanta, I tore the book to shreds and destroyed it. In his book, he also retranslated a lot of key slokas of the nature of the soul, taking meanings opposite to our acharyas, including the Goswamis. His guru, Tripurari Swami, has rejected him as a disciple. The quote is at the bottom of this email. I don't have this quote, but I assume it's the public post of the rejection. I will categorize Padmanabha Swami's philosophy as 1 centimeter from voidism and 1 millimeter from impersonalism. He uses the term radical personalism, but his philosophy is not personal at all. Furthermore, he has rejected his Guru Bharga and been rejected by his gurus. To top it off, he has never been nor is a member of ISKCON. I believe his influence in ISKCON is due to the fact that his bearing and behavior are very mild and sadhuish. He comports himself as a scholar and sattvic person. My subjective experience is that it feels like he is flowing like fine silk. I personally consider him dangerous to devotees' faith in Srila Prabhupada, our line of acharyas, our philosophy, and our understanding of sadhana. Your servant, the author of this letter. So maybe some of you already are aware of this letter, which I've heard it has been widely circulated. It came to my notice, just the letter in itself came to me per se today. You have been hearing about it for the last few almost months, basically. So I'd like to basically share a few words since there are some strong accusations or basically quotations, so-called quotations from me and my book, especially this line on Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and Srila Prabhupada all taught Appasiddhanta. Now, here, this is put between quotation marks in the original letter as to imply that that was it's a direct quotation taken from my book. So I must tell you, that's not in my book. My book is available You can get it, you can read it, you can go page by page, paragraph by paragraph, you can go through the different lectures that I've given on the topic throughout the years, and I've never ever say that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and Srila Prabhupada all taught Abha Siddhanta. That's not true, that's not correct, that's misrepresentative, not only of what I've said, but of my personal feeling. Try to imagine that if I feel that whatever they have taught is all Abha Siddhanta, why I do continue being part of the Bhaktivinoda Parivar? Why do I identify myself as a member of the line coming from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada? No? Why a renowned scholar and loyal follower of Srila Prabhupada, such as Krishna Kshetra Swami, has accepted originally to write the foreword to this book, Inherent or Inherited? No? So again, all those things have to be thought about. And I basically want to confirm that. Of course, regarding the rest of the letter, I'm giving lectures in ISKCON Vyasas, and let me see if there's anything else to clarify. Of course, you already know my personal story. I won't go into the details of what happened with Paramadvaita Swami. But as you know, I took distance from him after what happened. Regarding Tripurari Swami, I think that has become fairly fairly public as well. But as he says here, no, in that book he wrote, I haven't written what he's saying, what is being said here. In fact, I would like to to share a section of my book in which I clarify what I'm mentioning in this connection. And there I'm mentioning, this is in page 283 of the second edition of Inherent or Inherited. So it says like this: we may like to think that pure devotees cannot be mistaken, and they are not if fully surrendered to Krishna. But if they say something different in the context of outreach, this is not a fault at all. And how do we know that something is actually a circumstantial adjustment, a translation issue for the time, or a theological evolution in the life of an unfolding sadhu? Because if an acharya says something that apparently contradicts our Siddhanta, these are the main available options. Otherwise, we will have to consider that he has deviated, promoting real Abha Siddhanta. And that should not be a choice, ideally. But if instead of accepting this, we try to alter our original Gaudiya Siddhanta, not accepting that a certain acharya apparently made a mistake, expressing himself in the language of the time or establish a circumstantial adjustment, then that belongs under a different heading altogether, disservice to the Sampradaya. So my main point here is that I'm not declaring at any moment of my book that our acharyas have preached all taught Abha Siddhanta. I'm saying that at times they may have said things that could be seen as such by some of us, but actually in those cases, and to give an example of this, Prabhupada, for example, has said, so at times we fall from Vaikuntha, and at times nobody falls from Vaikuntha. One of these stances, in my opinion, the opinion of many, aligns with Gaudiya Siddhanta, one does not. So how to address that which seems to be Abha Siddhanta? But at the end of the day, we will feel actually someone like Srila Prabhupada knows Gaudiya Siddhanta, but at times he may be resorting to something we may call it provisional Siddhanta, as I call it in my book, with one particular purpose of taking people gradually to your ultimate Siddhanta, like this particular example of the fall of the Jiva. And by extension, I made a similar case to the main topic of my first book. But that's very different from saying that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and Srila Prabhupada all talked Abha Siddhanta. I'm not making that point in my book. In fact, if you read my book, you will see, hopefully, and feel how it was all written, whether you agree with or not, but it's all written in the spirit of service to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to Bhaktisiddhanta, to Srila Prabhupada, and trying to deeply understand what's the meaning of their words, their statements, their feelings, how to properly reconcile, accommodate whenever something seems to be different from other things they themselves said, and how to properly honor the words without the need of having to conclude that they all taught Abha Siddhanta. So in connection to my conversation to this Brahmin, the Prabhupada disciple, we have a three-hour conversation. But as she herself here is not quoting me at all accurately, probably she's not quoting my conversation with her in person accurately either. I would disagree deeply that to say that the soul is not a person. Of course, the soul is a person. And in potential, we have a potential in terms of personality in connection to bhakti. That's the main point. I'm not saying that the soul is not a person. Soul is a person, but there is a potential to all how much of a person we can be, depending on the different influences we put ourselves under. Mm-hmm. What else? He tore my book apart and... She says that I translated key shlokas on the nature of the soul, taking meanings opposite to the acharyas, including the Goswamis. To be honest, in my opinion, I have done exactly the opposite. I've tried to understand and interpret each one of these shlokas as much as accurately as possible in line with the Goswamis' teachings. And that has been the whole book, the whole attempt of the book. I mean, I have hundreds of references from devotees who have read the book. I have thanked for it. We're very grateful in terms of how that nourished their faith in our Bhaktivinoda Parivar, helped them to understand in a more fine way the teachings of the Goswami. Some others may have disagreed with that, but also were very appreciative. So different opinions. Generally, you write a book, not everyone will be absolutely convinced or happy with that. But that has been my intention. And regarding Tripurari Swami, I will say...
Bathroom working now?
Yeah, 1 minute I'm recording something. One minute. Sorry, here they're about to work something in the bathroom and they will make a lot of noise, so I will conclude quickly. And then when in the letters mentioned that Tripura Swami rejected me as a disciple, well, that's true, as we know, that's not in connection to this particular topic, no? As I have clarified many times. No, actually, the main conclusions from my book were drawn from the thinking that Tripura Swami had for years. And eventually he changed his stance, we know that, but the actual rejection had nothing to do with this particular theme, as I was open to know his new stance and so many other things that have all happened in time. So basically that, I wouldn't personally consider that I've rejected my Guru Bharga. On the contrary, I'm trying to be as loyal as I can to all of them, and that's why I remain as a member of the Bhaktivinoda Parivar, though my institutional affiliation situation is a little bit liminal. She says that I have been rejected by my gurus, in plural, which I do not agree with all respect. Everyone is free to think whatever they want. I have never been a member of ISKCON officially. That's totally true. But I've been invited to some places, to some houses, and many devotees have expressed lots of inspiration from whatever I'm trying to share. What can I do with that? I'm happy to be of service. I have no personal agenda of getting people from ISKCON, from other groups to me. I don't planning to have a mission to become Acharya myself or something like that. I'm trying to be as honest as I can with all of you. And I also trust that if you have any questions, you can always write to me personally. You can always read my book personally. And I think that's the most personal and personalistic way of dealing with this. In my opinion, my faith in Prabhupada and his line is very deep, very profound, very nourished and very joyful, and I'm trying to extend that nourishing to others, and I feel very blessed and very happy that I feel that by grace, Bhakti Devi's grace, Parampara's grace, I've been able to somehow do that in traveling and in sharing, whether through my first book, my second book. So basically that, just to wrap up and to conclude, I've never said in my book nor any of my lectures that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and Srila Prabhupada all talked apasiddhanta. I do not, that's not my opinion, that's not my feeling. I'm just trying to think deeply about certain statements that, in my opinion, need certain reconciliation. And that's why I wrote that book, and that's why I write any book and share, trying to harmonize, trying to reconcile, but never in the spirit of suggesting that our acharyas didn't know the Siddhanta, but trying to understand statements that require clear reconciliation. It may not be the cup of tea of everyone. I totally understand and agree with that, but it's mine. And I've seen that it's the cup of tea of others that also need that type of conversations. So basically that, I want to extend myself more. Thank you so much for your time. If you have any questions, any further doubts, you can always write to me privately. You can always present any inquiries you may have. And you have my books open and available to study them and to reach your own conclusions. So, pranam to all of you. Thank you so much for your attention.